Ladies and gentlemen, good afternoon and welcome to the Pfizer Second Quarter Analyst Teleconference. We have with us today Mr. Keval Handa, Managing Director, Mr. S. Sridhar, Finance Director, and Mr. Pradeep Nair, Company Secretary from Pfizer Limited. Mr. Keval Handa will be shortly joining the call. As a reminder for the duration of this conference, all participants' lines are in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity to ask questions at the end of today's presentation. Should anyone need assistance during the conference call, you may signal an operator by pressing star and then zero on your touch-tone telephone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. At this time, I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. S. Sridhar of Pfizer. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thanks a lot. Good afternoon, everyone. Welcome to the quarter two results. I will start with a few industry highlights and then get on to our performance. The MAT August 2011 by IMS reflects a slowing pharmaceutical market. A peak of about 19 to 20%, it's around 13.4% for August. The MNCs and Indian companies more or less growing at a similar rate of 13.5, 13.7, and the price continues to be a negligible factor, predominantly driven by volumes and new introductions. In terms of Pfizer, Pfizer maintains its 2.1% market share, the EI of 98, and it's reported growing around 10.6% as per ORG IMS. Most of our products have maintained their rank and market share, except for a couple of products like Bicosyl and Codex and Magnix, where IMS is showing a single-digit growth. Respiratory and nutrition, the two TAs where we are present, IMS is reflecting a 5% growth for each for these categories, and as a result has also reflected in our results for the quarter. Other TAs seem to be doing reasonably well for the 13% growth. Coming to our performance, we reported a performance of 20-odd% for the quarter. This quarter is not exactly comparable. The current quarter, July-September, in terms of published results, is compared to the quarter of June to August. On a like-to-like basis, we'll be growing by around 12% on our identical quarter basis for sales. The profit before tax is at 11% each, and profit after tax 11%. And for this YTD 6 months, I've reported 17% top-line growth and a 12% profit before tax and a 14% profit after tax. During the quarter, we have launched 11 branded generics in the areas of diabetes, in terms of CNS, anti-allergic, anti-malarial, in muscle relaxant, and anti-infectives. In terms of aggregated performance, our top line will show 20% for the quarter. Our expenditure is up by about 27% for the quarter, predominantly driven by material consumption and other expenditure. And as a result, our profit operations is slightly on the lower side for the quarter. Though we continue to have a little stronger growth on a YTD basis, a 17 and 9% operations. The bank interest has given us a good leverage, and as a result, for the quarter, we are reporting 11% PAT and a 14% YTD. In terms of our segment results, pharmaceuticals is growing at around 15% for the quarter, and animal health at around 9%, and a total of 12% for the quarter. And similarly, for a YTD basis, pharmaceuticals is around 12%, animal health around 13%, and weighted average back to around 12% odd. In terms of key products, in terms of Codex is growing at around, has grown around 5% for the quarter and at around 8% YTD. Bicosyls, having had a slow the first quarter, managed to grow better in the second quarter. So we are about 20% growth in Bicosyls, rather minus 1% in YTD. So both Codex and Bicosyls, the effect of the industry results slowdown in respiratory and in vitamin segment there. Overall, our pharma, like I said, is about 12% for the quarter. Animal health clocked consistent performance. We discontinued one product called Stefac, for which license expired, and hence our growth for the quarter is only 9%. Without this product, our growth for the quarter will be 17%. In terms of new product performance, for products launched in last year and products launched in the quarter one, quarter two, we have clocked close to about 12 crores of sales, which represent roughly around 4% of our sales, and a YTD about 20-odd crores, a similar 4% of sales. In terms of other operating income, the income has gone up primarily because of the cross charges we see for supporting Wyatt in sales and marketing activities. That has gone up, and that is leading to a 45% increase in my quarter results and a 50% for the half yearly results. In terms of total expenditure as a ratio, from 84% last year quarter, it has moved to about 88% this quarter, 4% increase versus the same period last year, or not the same period, but June to August quarter. This increase is mainly coming from material consumption, which has moved from 31% to 37%. We've had some increase in material cost of some raw materials. For example, PET bottles have gone up, and a couple of our raw materials went up this quarter. The sugar prices also went up, and the paper cost has gone up, which has led to a packing material cost going up of the overall total increase there. The employee cost is more or less static, no major change there. The other expenditure sees a growth driven by increase in advertising expenses on the back of BVO launches we've had. The traveling has increased because of the number of field force, and on account of the petrol hike, the freight charges also have gone up for the quarter. In terms of other income, we have a good interest income given the interest rates are moving up on our surplus funds. We earned a reasonably good return on that compared to the same period last year. As a result, our other income is up 40% for the quarter and about 18% YTD. There's no major change in our tax effective rate. It roughly remained the same there. And in terms of balance sheet, the inventory days are in control, and debtor days are also in control. You would see a cash in bank has moved from 577 to about 877 crores. That's basically because we had some funding to group companies, and they repaid the loans, and that has now gone back into the bank deposit now. Other than that, there are no major changes except for lower loans advances because of the repayment of loan and a higher bank balance as a corresponding impact of that. That's all I had in terms of my overview. Kewal has joined me here. We're happy to take any questions.
Hi, everybody, and happy Diwali to all of you.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who has a question may press star and one on your touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Anyone who has a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. The first question is from the line of Ashish Rathi from Aquarius. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon, sir.
Good afternoon, Ashish.
Sir, we are just viewing the slowdown in the industry across all players. And, we've been hearing from other companies that there has been aggressive pricing strategies by MNC players like Pfizer, Merck, etc. I just wanted to understand what is the perspective of Pfizer in this regard, and are we looking at any such strategies, to capture the market share? How much truth is there in this kind of a statement?
I don't think so. There is any truth in that statement. As you are aware, that it's a very highly competitive market. And the price increases on the IMS data is not more than 2% per annum. And if you look at the by MAT price increases of the industry as well as the multinational companies, it is within that range of 1% to 2%. Secondly, the government controls the prices both for scheduled products as well as for non-scheduled products. There is a capping of 10%. On the non-scheduled products, and given this factor, I don't think so. There is any truth in the fact that the MNCs are aggressive on the prices. In fact, the price increases in a MAT basis, which is 13.5 as far as IMS, the MNC's price increase is only 2%.
No, aggressive pricing, I would, you know, so is there any reduction in the prices that the companies are making to, you know, capture the competition better?
No, I don't think so. There is what do you call it as discounting or entry strategy or maybe capturing market share strategy, so as to call. There are a lot of marketing guys here, but there is I haven't seen that. Yes, FGOs are given, but they are all in the range of 5 to 10%. And the only thing that perhaps what you have is in the mind is a lot of MNCs are also launching branded generic products, and that's where the competition is.
Okay, and sir, so what is your outlook on the domestic market going forward, and what kind of strategies are we looking at to, you know, increase the growth rate probably, or what is your outlook on that?
As you're aware, perhaps for the last 3 or 4 months, maybe more than that, the market overall has slowed down around in the range of 13 to 14%, as from and as high as around about 18 to 20%. We have seen as high as 22% also. So there is definitely a slowdown that has happened in the last few months, mainly because of the environment around the GDP growth, the inflation, and so on and so forth. So going forward, my prognosis perhaps is that we will see the play around 13 to 15%.
And just one last question is that on the front of the price regulation and all the talks about the you know, the change in regulations in the FDI in the sector, where the approval CCI, etc. What are your views in that respect, sir?
As far as the FDI is concerned, this will be applied only to greenfield projects. I don't know how they define they're going to brownfield and greenfield projects, and so that needs a clarification. I haven't seen any circular in that regard. I haven't. These are only press reports and media reports. So actually, as of today, the status is the same. Unless there is something which there is guidelines from the government that these matters have to be referred to FIBB, and then FIBB will refer to the Competition Commission and so forth. So there is nothing as on record to say that the change has happened.
Okay. Thank you, sir. I'll join back the queue.
Thank you very much. The next question is from the line of H.R. Gala from Quest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Hi, Keval and Sridhar. Congratulations for good set of results in Pfizer as well as in Wyeth.
Hi, Gala.
Hi. Yeah, Keval, what I would like to know that quarter after quarter, you know, we are just discussing something on the operational side. Can you give us more strategic perspective for, say, next few years? How do you see Pfizer and Wyeth spending, you know, within this branded generic space, given that there is not much scope to probably, you know, have new molecules from the parent company?
If you look at the portfolio of Wyeth as well as Pfizer, it's very, very complementary in nature.
Yes.
We really do not compete in those categories. And one is very strong in vaccines and women area, well, we are very strong in respiratory, nutritional, anti-infective, cardiovascular, and so on.
Yeah.
How do we see these two companies doing well in future? Well, both have their own strength. Both are leaders in their own category. They compete. As an interim strategy, I think I don't like to project and go beyond the next few years. As an interim strategy, I think the focus would be more on optimizing the opportunity that is around branded generic through line extensions, through new delivery systems, through augmenting the portfolio in the therapeutic category, building up strong science-based TA focus, particularly like Pfizer has done in CNS and Wyeth is doing under vaccine. look at the opportunities to expand in territories, both extensively in urban areas as well as in extra-urban areas. I guess these are some of the things that will really dominate in the minds of both Wyeth and Pfizer. And I'm sure there is in the midterm, this will drive not only the top line, but also will also drive the profitability also.
Okay.
Because that's very clear. There are, I appreciate there are, at this point of time, as we're moving around, there are some operating expenses.
Yeah.
Coming around, mainly because of the investments we have done and the process investment and system investments we are doing now in this quarter. I'm very sure that next year in 2012, we will have more stability around operating expenses.
Okay. Now, you know, since I think addition to manpower that is in the field force is more or less over, barring that you may have to add a few more as you go extra urban and all that, do you see probability of operating profit margin, EBITDA margin, expanding from the current levels?
That's what I said, that as we see more productivity improvement of the field force,
yeah,
we see the stabilization of some of the branded generics. But
okay,
we are going to also launch a lot of branded generics and next year. Still, there would be still round of expenses for those branded generics as we start launching. So
okay.
So
subject to that.
Yeah, because we already launched about 30-40 this year.
Yeah,
in that range, and maybe similar ranges next year.
Okay,
so you will see that investment happening.
Fine.
But still, you will also get offset that by higher productivity and higher reach.
Right. Last question from my side, you know, looking to the recent announcement which Abbott Inc. has made that they want to split the company into two, do you see that going to be a trend in future amongst the innovator companies that they would like to separate out?
Very good question. Actually, a lot of people are trying to look at different business model to service the market.
Okay.
They're also looking at a different business model to have a buy higher market capitalization.
Right.
And also trying to see whether there are synergies between proprietary products, established products,
right,
generics, and so on and so forth.
Okay.
In that direction, as you know, Pfizer has also taken a lead. Actually, that thought process started from Pfizer, actually.
Okay.
And thereby, we have already talked about nutritional and animal health
being separate out.
Listed into a separate company. And it also has a wing called established product. So I really do not know what thought process they will have in future on those products. But that is mainly for the advanced markets. In the emerging market, it's all mixed up.
Yeah, right.
Because that's why they have kept the one country manager. But in advanced market, there is different business lines for different product line selling. So I think you will see more of these models emerging.
Okay.
And maybe the thought process is, and if research spend is so much, that company on research should pay back on its own.
Right.
If something people want to know whether really how it works on.
Okay.
Maybe it's very easy to explain to the world also how research is expensive.
Right. But Kewal, could it happen that, you know, the listed MNC subsidiaries would be left with, you know, the branded generics and that kind of stuff? And, you know, the proprietary products which come out of the new molecules under R&D and all that, probably, you know, go into their 100% subsidiaries. You know, then probably, you know, the Indian subsidiaries value per se might get reduced because, you know, then you are more or less playing in a me too product with, of course, some differentiation here and there.
I really wouldn't like to comment on that. It's too far-fetched at this point of time.
Okay.
It's a very integrated business.
Okay.
And I have seen both happening in Pfizer.
Yeah.
We're launching branded generics in Pfizer.
Yeah.
And also we launched Champex and Sutent proprietary.
Okay. Okay.
And so really time will tell. And then we launched the entire insulin portfolio in Pfizer.
True.
And as you know, also should realize.
Yeah.
That at the end of the day, what is India market going to be in next 10 years?
Okay.
Beyond that, it's only, you know, wishful thinking. Okay. What's going to be market? It's still going to be almost 98% to 99%
generic market.
Generic market.
Okay.
Standard generic market. So even if it is 1 or 2%, it really doesn't take the wind out of the generic market.
Okay. 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 Thanks, Keval, and all the best.
Thanks, Mr. Keval.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Taran Ali from Edelweiss. Please go ahead.
Yeah. Hi. Good evening, and thanks for taking my question. This is Manoj. I just want to understand, around 2 years ago, you know, when we started with the branded generics portfolio, we have launched a couple of products in last two and a half, 3 years. Just want to understand how is the initial success with those portfolio, and have we able to make any product large enough, you know, in the branded generics segment which contribute a reasonable size or revenue in our market?
Yeah, just to get back, we haven't launched a few, 1 or 2 products. We have launched, actually in this quarter itself, we have launched about 11 products.
Yeah.
Cumulatively, we have launched about probably about 20, 25 products in this current fiscal and about 20 odd products in the last fiscal.
Mm-hmm.
Our branded generic story is not a blockbuster, but we look at branded generic as a portfolio enhancement which fills as a gap in the areas what we have. So we look at BBOs as a portfolio, as a group, because these are all already molecules are there, and we're trying to differentiate based on our science and our way of selling there. And hence, if some of the branded generics click, it's good for us. Otherwise, accumulatively is what our focus is. It's more when my field force goes to the doctor's chambers, we can probably say we have a variety of products across various therapeutic areas. Having said that, there we are also looking at, of all the basket of products, a few products we feel can be winners for us, and therefore we are investing a little more additionally in those products there. So some of our products have reached on average about 4 to 5 crores already, and that's a good kind of a base for us. If you really look at the industry and compare to some of our product performance, we probably say we've done a decently good job in trying to have some sizable revenue behind some of the key products there. All will not see that size, but some of them will see that size. So as we move along, some will get dropped, some will get added. It's a continuous running story as we move along.
Okay. The second thing, if I look at the margins which we had, I'm talking about operating margins around 2 years, we had a sustainable margins of around 20% to 23% kind of range. However, which has come down to 16-17% kind of range, obviously because of the investment which we have been making. Going forward, maybe with the next 1 or 2 years kind of perspective, where do you see the margins to be settling down? Are we expecting margins to go back to 22-23% kind of range?
No, I think like I said, we have been investing in India for the last 2.5 years now. So just actually, you can say 2 years. We started about 2.5 years back, but we started consolidation about 2 years back there. And if you really look at our way we have been investing, it's been in pieces. We added up 200 people first, another 200 people. Then we backed up with few launches there. So there's been continuous increasing for us the last 2 years there. We hope that over the next couple of years, we'll see some consolidate our performance. Our investments should start paying off. Our top line should go faster. Actually, our top line are going faster even in this quarter itself, except, as you know, Codex and Vicosis is fighting a very, very slow industry growth there. Even if those two brands sort of clocked on a little more double-digit growth, you would have seen our top line growing far more substantially and the bottom line improving already in this year. So I'm only hoping that the temporary slowdown is will be overcome, and our products will see improved, and field force will be a lot more productive, and the margins improving in the next year or so.
So we can reach back to 22-23% kind of range going forward?
I wouldn't want to comment on the percentage, because percentage has various factors there. Hopefully, we should go back to far more improved performance in the last in the next 1 to 2 years.
Okay, and if we exclude the growth of Corex and Bicasol,
yeah.
So ex those two products, what could be the growth for us in the quarter?
For the quarter, we'll be growing at around 17%.
Correction because of.
Yeah.
Okay. And Keval, just want to get your view on the DPCO. Like now, since the NLM is already there, and even Supreme Court has directed to come back to the DPCO within 2 weeks. Any thoughts on that? And how do you see? Could it be a big threat to the industry?
Yeah. The new Supreme Court direction is based on some public interest.
Yeah, PI litigation. Yeah.
PI, public interest litigation.
Yeah.
It's nothing to do with the earlier
case of Karnataka, which went up to the Supreme Court,
mm-hmm.
and where the government had filed that it would come out with a new drug policy.
Yeah.
My guess is in this Supreme Court also the government would either make that statement that it will soon come out with a new policy
mm-hmm.
on, and back up by some type of policy that they want to bring around the NLEM. So that's what my take is, how and what form the NLEM will come. It's very difficult to say.
Okay, that's all from my side. Wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Ranjit Kapadia from Centrum Broking. Please go ahead.
Good afternoon. My question relates to the co-marketing of Biocon insulin and glargine. I want to know what is the initial feeling. And my second question is regarding the merger of with Wyeth. What is the update on that?
The product has been it's a Pfizer brand. Let me first tell you, not co-marketing. It's not co-marketing as such. It's we are separately marketing this as Pfizer brand.
Okay.
And it's all the products are Pfizer tested quality products.
Okay.
Let me also put that very clearly. And the product goes to Pfizer Global for testing. Secondly, the cold chain is Pfizer cold chain. We are not piggybacking on their cold chain. It's a separate cold chain set up by us. So it's a cold chain that will be managed by us. And the third thing is that it's too early to comment on how we want to do it. We just built up a team, which is around about 200-odd people team that's been built up. A little bit of pipelining of the products has been done. The actual promotion has just started last month. And this is, as somebody rightly put it in the papers, or one of the analysts wrote it, I don't remember, I've read it somewhere. This could be a very good medium to long-term strategy as move forward.
And what is the investment in cold chain setting, if you can throw give some number?
It's a mix, actually, because we already hired a cold chain to extend from our vaccine experience we had. And but we all of Pfizer products had some cold chain. Some of our hub was already had facilities. Some of the CNF we upgraded it. So it's a mix of two.
And would you like to give any update on Wyeth merger?
Well, I think I have no news on that at this point of time. And as we almost completed the operational integration, and that's the benefits you were seeing happening both at the Pfizer end as well as at the Wyeth end.
Okay. Thank you very much, and wish you all the best.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Sudarshan Damal from Alert Partners. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for taking my call, sir.
Hi, sir.
I have a couple of questions. Sir, if you look at your staff costs, which has actually gone up by 6% on year-on-year basis, does that mean, sir, that your overall staff addition exercise is more or less complete and you'll be looking for productivity gain going forward?
It's very difficult to say that it's complete, by the way. depending upon the need, you can keep on adding. At this point of time, there is still scope for adding people, maybe either directly or through contract field force, either way. The secondly is we will definitely have to see the productivity improvement that will take place in the coming years of the addition of the field force.
Okay. So what's your field force strength by this quarter to end?
2,500.
So looking at your other expenditure, which has gone up by around 30-34% on year-on-year basis, and as Mr. Sridhar said, obviously you're investing in advertising, travel, freight, which has actually gone up. Do you think that on a long-term basis, your other expenditure would be at current level, or going forward, this will come down to your historical average?
You know, in addition to that, we also invested in improved infrastructure on an improved order to cash cycle. And hence, some of the expenses which you're seeing there is also in relation to that. Hopefully, it should stabilize to some extent. The freight should stabilize. Some of the CFAs, some REOs which we have, that should stabilize. The advertisement should stabilize because the last 12 months have seen a lot of new launches there, so launch expenses are a little heavy there. So there should be some improvement in the other expenses as you move along.
Okay. So lastly, in last con call, you have guided that your COGS would be in the range of around 34% to 35%, yeah, and accordingly your gross margin would be in the range of 65% to 66%.
Yeah.
Is there a security factor involved in this overall basis? And
yeah,
do you maintain this number like to be there for next
Ideally, our trend has been 34-35 on a standard basis there. Unfortunately, this quarter we have had a challenge in with the petroleum prices, crude prices going up. Some of our packaging is in PET bottles, so hence we have had a higher COGS of PET bottles. The paper price has moved up, which has resulted in most of our packing material going for an increase. A couple of my key raw materials for two of my products have seen a significant increase in cost there. And hence we've had a hit in COGS in this quarter. We do expect that COGS to be a little high in the coming quarter and probably quarter after that, and maybe we will probably see some improvement in after about two quarters, but there'll be a slight increase in the next two quarters for sure.
Okay. So just few housekeeping questions. What's the attrition rate right now in your sales team?
It's around 20% plus.
And the industry average is around?
It's around hovering around 30%, I believe.
Okay. And so on overall basis, what's your institutional or hospital sales as a percentage of total pharma?
We really do not have a separate figure for that because it has two elements. One is the tender sales element,
mm-hmm,
and the other one is through detailing elements, which is basically run through our division called critical care. But all I can say is that this segment is doing pretty well. We have added a larger portfolio to this segment, and even for tenders, we have added some of the branded generic products.
Okay. I think so. This was about it. Thank you, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Bhavin Shah from Dolat Capital. Please go ahead.
Thanks, and Keval and Sridhar, and Diwali greetings to both of you.
Thanks, Bhavin.
Sir, just on follow up on the branded generics itself again. You know, the way things are going, we'll have a decent bouquet of products by the next few years. But the kind of competition that's coming in from all sides, how do you really identify the key TAs that would deliver the performance that you expect to, plus the volume price game? So how are you going to plan it out and play it?
Yeah, we have already, you know, launching most of these standard generics where our presence is already there in the TA category, except for diabetes, which is a new TA category. Rest is mostly consolidating the TA categories itself, be it CNS, be it cardiovascular, or be it anti-infective. That's what we are trying to do, or be it hospital segment. Competition is going to be there, and competition has been always there.
Okay.
Our strength lies in our quality of the products, the brand Pfizer, the training of the field force, and of course the science-based promotion that we do. So it's and the differentiation that we bring in either in terms of the manufacturing, whether it's in terms of delivery systems or the science of the product. So those are the way we will differentiate ourselves from the rest. And we have to be very strong enough to compete in this market because now not only are you going to compete with the Indian companies with, for branded generics, you're also going to compete with multinational companies for branded generics.
Correct. Yeah. So given the fact, I mean, you think you're going to, you know, play with the pricing front, or you think the market itself is competitive?
Well, I think the pricing game is not a winner, really. It's
not a winner.
If you how low you can go, you know.
Correct.
Start discounting your branded generic pricing, and then you are discounting your own brand image, you are discounting your own quality of the products, and so on and so forth. I guess our game plan will be very competitive pricing, obviously, reasonable pricing rather than a low pricing entry strategy.
Okay, so in the next couple of years, you see this segment to be about 10-15% of your overall revenue figure?
I mean, right now it's about 4% if I'm not mistaken. Another 4 to 5 years, it's bound to double.
Okay, great. And so all the best on that. Last question on the animal healthcare, some product which got discontinued. Any replacement on that to offset the growth or the degrowth or any IT additions there?
But they have done pretty well in the other products that they have, actually.
Okay.
And if you see, in spite of that, the animal health has grown by 13%. And without the discontinued product, it would have grown by 17% or so. So it's had a good growth. And you know, remember, traditionally, the pharma growth has always been much, much higher than the animal health growth. Always, I used to use the benchmark of that pharma growth is twice the animal health growth.
Okay.
That's really the benchmark
one
used.
Okay, great. All the best, sir. Thank you so much.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Anubhav Agarwal from Credit Suisse. Please go ahead.
Two housekeeping questions. One, what is your current exposure to price control as percentage of sales currently?
Currently, it's around 17-18%.
17-18%. And in terms of doctor coverage, how many doctors do you cover right now? With your field force of 2,500?
Roughly around 30-odd percent we're covering.
Okay, that's almost like 200,000 doctors.
No, I think that's a little bit of a misnomer there. When you say a doctor coverage, again, depends on what segment are you talking about, what specialty of doctors you're talking about.
Mm-hmm.
And some of the specialty doctors, the coverage is 100%. On some, let's say, in the physicians, their coverage may be much, GPs may be much low. So it's all relative, really.
Okay, I just expand this question. Basically, the purpose of asking was that since it appears that with branded generics and the current field force of 2,500, you essentially don't need to, or you're not planning to expand the doctor coverage currently. Are you very much happy with your current doctor coverage? Though, here and there, for example, you're getting into a new segment like diabetes, there you will expand your doctor coverage, but overall, it will not be a significant addition to doctor coverage. Is that a fair statement?
No, not true. Every addition of the field force will have new territories and new doctor coverage.
Okay. So in terms of territories also, it will be...
Yeah, sure.
Okay. And just last clarification, let's say when you get into a new segment like diabetes, what will be ambition here? Will it just be limited to covering the main products in the therapy or to cover a very significant portion of the therapy? Because to the earlier remark about anti-infective to filling the gaps, which is very well understandable, but how about diabetes?
You see, we already launched some of the branded generics in oral diabetes.
Mm-hmm.
And so we are already tackling that through teams which is separately promoting oral diabetic products. And then you have team promoting insulins. And then we are also looking at opportunity of launching other products in this segment to be promoted by this team.
Yeah, so that essentially very much covers the entire gamut then.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. Thanks. I'm done with my questions.
Thank you. The next question is from Ashish Rathi from Aquarius. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity following up. Most of my questions have been answered, sir. I just wanted to take a clarification at this stage, very basic understanding of the NLEM and DPCO regulation. So in particular, I just wanted to understand, how does the DPCO apply to a particular drug which has more than one API? So if it's like one API is under the price control, the whole drug package comes under the price control? Is that understanding
the current rules are very clearly says if a drug is, there are relevant 30 drugs or so, 70 drugs are under cost-based control. So any product, any formulation using that drug comes under the price control. So right now the system is that the APIs are under price control, but any formulation using that API also comes under price control. So
okay.
That's the connection.
Yeah, and also if you could just give us a broad understanding of the differences in the margins that the companies get in the DPCO and the non-DPCO category in terms of the percentages, any rough idea?
Quite difficult to say, mm-hmm. But I can only say I do not know what is the margins others are getting in the non-DPCO product. It varies from product to product and category to category, but in DPCO products, which is the scheduled products, which are under the price control and the cost basis, I think the production margin anywhere ranges from 15 to 25%. Production margin, I'm saying. And then you have gross margin, then you have your marketing expenses, distribution, and so on and so forth.
Absolutely. So production margins would be the cost? Sales minus the cost, you're saying?
Yeah, that's right. Yeah.
Okay, the gross margin, basically. That would be from my side. Thank
sure.
you.
Thank you. The next question is from the line of Cluden Chedda from ValueQuest Research. Please go ahead.
Hello. Yeah, so congrats for a good set of numbers. So what was the growth in women's healthcare and vaccines business for Wyatt?
That's why. Well, both these are related to Wyatt.
So you won't answer in this call, sir?
I mean, this is basically a Pfizer analyst call.
Okay, sir. Yeah, thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Krishna Prasad from JM Financial. Please go ahead.
Hi, thanks for taking my question. See, if I look at your pharma growth for the quarter, I think you mentioned it was 15% on a like-on-like basis. Now, this seems to be higher, even excluding the sort of lower growth for Becozils and Corex. It seems to be higher than what we've seen in previous quarters. Can you help us understand what is driving this growth for the current quarter and what would be a sustainable number to look at going forward?
See, the growth is strictly not comparable because of the different periods. Though they are three months period, one is July-September, one is June to August there. And hence there's a 1 month overlapping there. So on a like-to-like basis, we would have grown about 12% on a same calendar months.
That's for the pharma segment, you're saying? So
that's
12%
right.
for the pharma
that's
segment?
Right. That's right.
Okay. And overall growth on that basis would be how much?
Overall growth would still be 12% because all the other segments are also driving the similar growth.
Okay. And you're saying if you adjust for the lower growth in Becozils and Corex, that would have been 17% adjusted for these two products?
At least definitely about 3 to 4 percentage points higher.
Okay. Got it. And in terms of any sense on what we should expect going forward, I mean, any recovery in Becozils and Corex?
I think both are a factor of the marketplaces and markets drive performance of these two products there. So if the market picks up pretty soon, Corex probably will pick up faster than Becozils. Respiratory is probably just a cycle there on the weather conditions, etc. So we have a lot more confident of Corex coming through a lot more faster than Becozils. Becozils, if we are a plain B complex, market is going to multivitamins. So we are also trying, but still has a very strong imagery to still have a lot of prescription base coming in there. And we are focusing on differentiated marketing strategies for Becozils. And Becozils will be a little more longer term to get back there, but Corex will be a little faster.
Okay. Also, is there any channel scheme or anything that we've run this quarter that's impacting our raw material costs?
I'm sorry?
Is there any sort of additional schemes that you're running, any channel schemes or anything that you're running that's impacting our gross margins this quarter?
No, gross margin is impacted purely by packing material costs. We've had some increases in a couple of packing materials, and hence that's the impact.
All right. That's it from my side.
Thank you for
taking my questions.
Thank you.
Thank you. The next question is from Krunal Shah from Amy Deep. Please go ahead.
Hello, sir. First of all, wishing you and your team a very happy Diwali, sir.
Thank you. Same to you.
Yeah. And so my question is relating to the Wyatt marketing arrangement that we have. I would like to know the financial structure of the arrangement that is there currently.
It's not a marketing arrangement.
Okay.
The Wyatt has its own marketing team, both for vaccines as well as for the woman health portfolio.
Right.
The entire vaccine team is dedicated in Wyatt itself.
Okay.
So only the FTs are provided, salespeople are provided for promotion for the woman health portfolio from Pfizer under the supervision and the guidance of Wyatt team.
Okay. So, and what, how do, in a sense, what is the accounting, how is the accounting done, what do we get as a profit from our side?
We recover the cost plus 10%.
Cost plus 10%.
Yeah.
Okay, so the cost is accounted in our P&L.
Yeah, absolutely.
And in under what heading, sir?
It will be.
It will go in various line expenses. It will go in various line expenses.
Like traveling, it will go in
travel, salary, etc.
Salaries and all. And that's why if our staff cost or this cost is also a relation to many time what increases takes place in what.
Right. So it will be cost plus 10% of cost.
Yeah, that's right. Thanks.
Okay, fine. Thank you so much, sir.
Thank you. And the last question is from the line of Sudarshan Damal from Allied Partners. Please go ahead.
So thanks for the opportunity. Just want to reconfirm the numbers. On like-to-like basis, sir, you said 12% growth for Q2.
Yeah.
And that 12% is on totality, but can you break that thing in pharma and animals?
Pharma would be probably around 13%, 12 point something, around 13%. And animal health, that's around 11-ish something.
Leverage. And for H1, sir?
H1 is similar trend.
Similar, sir. Okay. So, you have other operating income of around 18 crores. Can you break that thing into clinical service and income coming from other operating things?
We don't get into specific of there, but other operating income major increases from the support, sales support to Wyatt.
Okay, sales support.
Yeah.
Sir, can you give the breakup of price growth and volume growth for the Q2, sir?
The price growth is 3% and the balance is volume.
Okay. So looking at overall portfolio, what percentage of the Pfizer sales come from the so-called chronic medicines and acute medicines on overall basis?
We don't disclose that.
We don't disclose that, please.
Okay. So lastly, we know that insulin has been launched through Pfizer. When is this product insulin going to break even in terms of getting a reasonable scale and the investment? Are they basically going to break even for Pfizer? And do you think going forward, insulin, just because you are earning marketing margin or trading margin, will this be a margin dilutive for Pfizer going forward, sir?
No. First of all, this insulin is as I said, it's a Zaw brand. It's a third party arrangement. And therefore, we have that freedom of pricing. And B is these are the products which will require investment as we move forward, because there has to be value seen in the marketplace when we're launching this product. Two of the products, particularly, are under price control. The insulins are under price control, so there would be some challenge in terms of getting higher margins on those products. And therefore, I think as our plans as we moving forward, we are looking at seeing how we need to enhance our enrollment of the new patients and getting market shares from other at a faster pace so that we break even much faster. But again, it all depends upon the type of investments that we are now looking at to be done in the next few years, which will also have long-term strategy to gain larger market share in future.
Okay. Thank you, sir.
Thank you. The next question is from Meeta Shetty from Asian Markets. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hello, sir. Sir, could you give us some color on the product launches from the parents' portfolio in the domestic market over the next 1.5 years?
The color of Diwali is very colorful.
I guess, yes, it is, sir.
Well, what are you wearing today?
Colorful as in Diwali.
Colorful as in Diwali. And my CFO is wearing the Indian traditional dress today. I do not know what is the color of the patented product. So, these products, it's too early to comment, frankly speaking.
Okay.
The color changes, actually. Today, I may say it's a green. That means that it's ready for launch. But tomorrow, it becomes red there because of the regulatory challenges globally you face. Most of the products fail at even phase 3. So, it's getting increasingly challenging to launch the product globally, as there is a lot of failures happening. Earlier, there were not so many failures happening at phase 2 and phase 3. So actually, when it happens, it happens. So let's take it when it happens. Then we will say now it's ready for launch.
But any major products you see in the next 6 months at least? Are there anything lined up?
No, I don't see anything lined up in the next 6 months. There is no global products coming in the next 6 months for any approvals.
Okay, all right.
Even if they come for approval, if they get approval, it would be more in the US and Europe markets. It's going to be a time lag before we actually start.
None of the existing products also you're looking at?
We have already said we are going to launch branded generics. I already said at the same time.
No, from the parents, I was.
We have also picked up a lot of established products from parents. So that's
Out.
We are also saying that a lot of global arrangements have been made with companies like Aurobindo's and Strides. We will pick up some products from there also.
Okay. Yeah. Thanks and happy Diwali to you, sir.
Thank you very much.
Thanks.
Thank you. At this moment, I would like to hand the conference over to Mr. Keval Handa for any final remarks.
Thank you very much. And really, this is very, very interesting analyst meet, and more insightful questions have been coming to us. So I've been just prompting my colleagues here, we need to prepare ourselves much, much better with the types of questions that you are posing us. Wish you and your family a very, very happy Diwali and a happy New Year. And I hope that this brings a lot of success to all of you. Thank you very much.
Wish you all a very happy Diwali, everyone. Let's talk to you next quarter. Thank you. Bye-bye.
On behalf of Pfizer, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines.